Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Drunk Tank. Yeah, it's a drunk tank. Yeah, it's a drunk tank. Yeah, yeah, that's the worst song ever.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Drunk Tank.
That was a lot of yes.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Drunk Tank songs, we had a visit from a Drunk Tank singer the other day. Should we talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah, we had the Boy Wonder, who I think did our theme song for, Drunk Tank number 26 or so? You called him Dr. Pussy Magnet?
Yeah, he did the good song.
It's the Drunk Tank where we had Dan sit in with us.
He's actually an honest-to-God musician.
Yeah, he stopped by the office. He emailed me. To see if it was okay, and we set up a time for him to come in, and he was a real nice guy.
Yeah, he was. We went to lunch with him and everything.
He had a real guitar with him, too.
Yeah, I was hoping he wasn't going to bust that out. I was a little nervous about that, but I don't want to be folked. But you think he even has a show coming up or something, and we told him we'd plug it.
Yeah.
Do you remember what that was?
It was
February 28th?
February 28th at Headhunters here in Austin.
Headhunters, okay.
Where is Headhunters?
That's at 7th and Red River.
Yeah, used to be something else. We used to hang out there a lot.
That's good. Back in the day. It was something.
What was it called?
It was called Ocean's 13.
That's right.
Or Ocean's 11.
That's right. That's what it was called.
And Gus and I hung out there so much that we had a table. We hung out there so much. You were in love with the waitress,
yeah,
China.
They would, we used to go there so much that she would kick people out of our table.
That's true. We would go there 7 days a week.
It would be packed on Saturday night. And we'd show up. She'd be like, oh, hey, guys, hold on a second. She'd be like, she'd go over to the table and be like, you guys, get the fuck out.
She would. She'd be like, I'm sorry, this table's reserved. I guess she didn't see the sign. And she'd put a sign down.
It was awesome, man.
Those were the days.
That's service.
Man, they got shut down by the FBI, didn't they?
No, they got shut down by TABC.
TABC.
Which is like the Gestapo FBI here.
Yeah.
TABC is like the alcohol regulatory commission here in Texas.
Yeah, what were they doing?
They came in and raided the place while it was open one night.
That place, if you were a regular, you could stay and drink after 2 a.m.
Okay.
And
that's the way it should be.
And sometimes other stuff happened. That's where the courts to decide.
What kind of other stuff?
Ritual sacrifice?
Non-podcast stuff. Anyway, long story short, we don't go there anymore.
Anyway, it's Headhunters now. They have live music now. And yeah. The Boy Wonder will be playing.
That's Caddy Corner to Stubbs, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
You know, it's funny. Isn't that sort of anyone that opens in that location winds up closing 6 months later? Am I wrong about that?
No, the stuff there has been there a while. Like, the Red-Eyed Flies there. Room 710 actually did just close, you know, but they were there for, 7 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there is that building, the Mohawk building, that was a new club, every year for the longest time. And then Mohawk's held onto it for a while. I think they've been there 5 years or so.
Yeah.
It's like, who's the guy? It's like the same thing downtown from across from Hooters or whatever. That one plot of land that just goes from one thing to the other. It's like, who?
The one that was a Bennigan's and now it's some other
Irish
place.
There are definitely cursed locations in Austin.
Like Wan Fu 2.
The Wan Fu 2, which used to be an ice cream place.
Used to be a surfboard shop.
Then there's also...
It's basically if you don't have that left turn access or whatever, it's over.
There's also the place that used to be the Realm. Then it was... the other place, and then it was Le Bear.
Oh yeah, it was called. It was Sidekicks.
And yeah, Sidekicks. That's exactly the place I'm talking about.
Way back in like '93, I used to go there, and it was called Sharky's. I think
Sharky's. That's right, yeah. Man. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was back in the early '90s.
That's
shit.
That's amazing.
I'm sure
memory.
Everyone who lives who does not live in Austin finds this part of the podcast.
Yeah,
fascinating.
You know what's else? I'm gonna keep it rolling. It was Steamboat for a while.
Was it?
Yeah, Steamboat closed down on Congress. It was like an Austin institution.
Yeah,
I never went there. The place was boring.
Oh, shit. You're
right.
It was
kind of lame. And anyway, it opened up. After it closed down, it opened up in that building. And then I remember that because they took the entire side of the two-story building and they put the calendar. Like, they drew a calendar on it. And every day they would, every month they would paint the shit that was going on.
Was that like 98?
Yeah, that was like 98, 99. No, it would have been like 2000.
This is why this is applicable to people outside of Austin. I'm going to try and say applicable again. every city, there's that place where it's like there's a business that doesn't make it past 6 months. It just goes from one business to the other.
It's the building is cursed.
It's like, who's the guy? Like, if you're an owner, if you have money and you're investing, like, didn't you want to pay a little bit of attention?
Like, I'm going to be the one that makes it at this spot.
Yeah right? I don't know.
So, long story short, we're moving into that building.
You know, I got, I shouldn't talk about this on the podcast. I got pulled over by the cops like 3 nights ago.
At that building? At Le Bear?
The shell of Le Bear.
What'd you get pulled over for, Joel?
Solicitation?
Possession?
Right. That's right.
Of a cock?
Never mind. I'm
talking about it. Well, great. If you're not going to talk about it, we're just going to speculate.
It was funny. It was like the second I said Le Bears, it was like I was just counting down. Like,
yeah. So what did you get pulled over for? Speeding?
Yes.
How fast were you going?
I don't know.
How fast were you going? About 6 ounces?
I was...
Were you going 0.10 fast?
Yeah. No.
Joel drives a jet.
Somewhere around there. Somewhere around there. And he pulls me over, and I'm not entirely sober. And, you know, he's grilling me. Walks around in the front of my car, walks back. He goes, "You don't have a front license plate either." I'm like, "Oh, well, great! I'm going to jail, and he's gonna get me on the license plate." He goes, "I already have 3 points."
Yeah,
you know, for the first time, I got the letter where it's like you get another one. You have to pay $100 a month.
Yo.
So I'm like, "Well, I'm going to jail." And he walks back and he lets me go. He lets me go, which was the greatest thing in the world.
You know, it's funny you say that the cop was upset about you not having a front license plate. Texas is kind of weird about license plates. I think also if you have like a license plate cover on your back license plate that covers the word Texas, obstructs it at all, you can get pulled over for
that. Now that's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely bullshit. It's just like an excuse. Like they're just looking for excuses to pull people over at that point.
Let me ask you this, Joel. Did you take a field sobriety test?
Astonishing. Had I had to take a field sobriety test, it would have been over. Like, had he asked me to get out of the car, it would have been over.
Yeah. I failed a field sobriety test right there in front of Le Bear once, and they let me go. I failed.
What
a
is
field
it about Le Bear?
Test. I don't know, dude, but I failed it, and the guy's like, "Man, you're not passing this test." It was the eyeball test, you know? And he goes, "Have you ever had any kind of head trauma?" And I told him that I used to be a pro skateboarder, and I'd had 6 concussions. And he let me go. I made up on the spot. I was like, there was this time I was on a half pipe, and then I told him about how like I'd gotten a concussion on my bicycle and one time at work. See, and I told him I had 6 concussions, and the doctor told me if I ever had another concussion, I could die. And I invented it all on the spot.
That is extreme value. What you just said. No. What you just said, that gives this podcast value. There is a piece of information. I'm going to use it.
We earned our explicit tag this week.
There is a piece of information. There is a piece of information that is usable, saves you hundreds of dollars, keeps you from going to jail.
Or you could call a cab.
Yeah,
you know,
call a cab.
Call a cab.
Let's not game the system.
Let's not fucking encourage the wrong behavior.
That's
here.
True. No, and that's allegedly that I haven't had those concussions. No, I have had a lot of concussions. I've had like.
I mean, the
five
fact that you got the tattoos going up and down your arm, it sells it. It sells it. It's almost worth getting the tattoos up and down your arm just to have the story work.
Those field sobriety tests, though, those things are made for you to fail.
Jack's
story takes 3 hours. We've all heard.
Yeah, well, Jack has a phenomenal story, but it takes forever to tell. So what we're going to have to do at some point is edit that.
Have a Jack podcast.
Yeah. No, you don't want a Jack podcast.
No. You'd hear all about NFL coaching changes. It'd be fucking fantastic.
But needless to say, though, the pen test, the eye test, is what I quote-unquote failed on. That's what they got me on.
Oh, yeah?
Like walking the line and everything else, I was fine. But then I spent a night in jail for DWI the morning after my sister's wedding.
And by the way, we all don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive.
For the record, I've had those concussions. I didn't lie.
For the record, I've never gotten pulled over for a DUI. I've gotten two speeding tickets and one ticket for running a red light.
And for the record, I've never drove drank.
When I was in high school one time, I got my first speeding ticket. I went to the courthouse to pay it. I got a parking ticket while I was paying my speeding ticket. And then when I left, I got a speeding ticket later.
Oh, God. I
was 17.
I got pulled over and got two. The guy gave me two speeding tickets. That doesn't seem legal.
Wow.
You know, the first time I ever hit another car when I was driving, I was in high school. And I was driving my family's, like, minivan. And I was at the police station for some reason. And I was leaving the police station, and I backed straight up into another car, and I freaked out and took off.
You did not.
Yep.
It was you!
I hit a car in the parking lot of a police station and took off, and
was it a car? I've done that before, too.
No, it was it's like someone else's car.
Before I lived in Austin, I was on tour with a band here, back when I used to roadie, and my friend and I got really drunk, and we decided that we were going to pee on a different building every time we had to pee. And
the city.
I found this really nice glass window, and we peed on it. And then the next morning, we woke up, and we were driving around downtown, and we realized that we had peed on the 7th and Red River, or 7th and Congress, or 7th and I-35 police station. Pissed all over the front window.
That's nice.
It's 2 in the morning.
Well, they probably deserved it.
That's also alleged.
Oh, and for the record, I was not drunk when I got arrested.
I wasn't either, actually.
Me neither.
I failed that. No. Obviously, I didn't fail the test, or I would have gone to jail. I passed the test, and I've had the concussions, and I hadn't been drinking.
I was sober, and I failed the test.
I was sober as well.
The one innocent person. Okay.
I'm nervous about this podcast.
Hey, you know what's been awesome the last week, Jeff?
What's that, buddy?
Mass Effect.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about Mass Effect 2.
I've been playing it. As two characters, I've been having, like, two games I've been playing at the same time going through that game. And I just finished it the other day with my Paragon character, and I'm pretty close to finishing it with my Renegade character. And I am really digging the hell out of Mass Effect 2.
It's a tremendous game. I'm actually mad that I looked back, and it's gotten, like, 40 perfect reviews.
Wow.
And I looked at GameSpot the other day, they gave it a 9. I got really mad about that.
What?
They gave Mass Effect 1 an 8.5.
Mm.
So that game is way more than 0.5 better. Yeah, then Mass Effect. Yeah,
I mean, I'll go with that.
You touched on on Mass Effect 1, where sort of the weapon system was a little confusing.
Inventory was
the inventory
was
and like
shit.
The upgrades, like you could apply to your weapons.
Yeah,
it was cluttered.
No, and I played it. And I agree with it. 100. I agree with that totally.
Streamlined.
I felt also in Mass Effect 1, planetary exploration felt tacked on, like landing your ship on the planet's surface and driving around, and that never felt right to me. They removed that too. Thank God.
But yeah, dude, that game is great. The only thing I can't do in that game is get laid. I have fucked up every turn in that game trying to get laid.
So it's very familiar territory for you.
Yeah, we're going to make a comic about it probably. But yeah, it's basically like I'm playing high school all over again.
So did you have to play the first one to understand what's going on in 2?
No, I didn't play the first one more than... I played like 3 hours of the first one. Okay. I got bored with it.
I don't think you even played that much.
Yeah. No, well, maybe. Yeah. I played it twice, too.
But I mean,
I'm actually going to go back and play it again because I know that if I invest enough time into it, I'll really dig the first one. And I'd like to see the backstory for the one that I'm playing now.
One of my characters that I'm playing through right now, I imported a Mass Effect 1 character and continued it. And the other one I started fresh just so I could see. God, I'm such a nerd. Just so I could see like the hooks that they throw in if you've played Mass Effect 1.
No, I do the same thing.
Yeah, and there are several characters that you encounter if you import your character. If you import your save game from Mass Effect 1, there are several characters with several new like storyline hooks that aren't available if you didn't play Mass Effect 1.
That's what I think makes a game great and also at the same time drives me crazy. Because it's like, this is great, but that's what makes it great. But at the same time, oh, what am I missing?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so there are already consequences for things I did in the first game happening in the second game. So I feel like it's just going to snowball by the time Mass Effect 3 comes out.
Yeah. I hear you.
Was your save game a good character or a bad character?
Middle of the road. Okay. Kind of leaning towards good.
Okay.
But I did have one problem importing my character. I played Mass Effect 1 twice, actually, with two different characters. And when I went to import my character, the import process only saw one of those characters.
Huh.
So I couldn't import my other one.
That's too bad. I wonder if you had to beat the game to have that import work, because I thought I had a Mass Effect 1 save on my memory card, and it just didn't find it.
Maybe. I bet you probably do.
Yeah, you probably
would
have beaten it. Anyway, if you guys haven't played Mass Effect 2, you both should run out and buy it right now, because
it is
tremendous.
We've done a few Achievement Hunter videos for it, and at first, you know, looking at the achievements before we got it, I didn't think it would lend itself very well
to
achievement videos, but we've done a couple. I think it turned out pretty well.
You got a lot of work out of it.
You were saying, like, oh, there's going to be, like, maybe 3 or 4 videos now, Jeff's like, oh, we've got, like, 9 more left.
Yeah, I think we do.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, everything about that game looks great to me, and I desperately want to play it.
Yeah, there are a couple things that bug me about it. It's not, I wouldn't say it's a perfect game.
What bothers you about it?
The planetary scanning. There's just, like, an issue of scale there. Like, you roll up on a planet, and it looks like a tiny little dot, or it can look like this huge gas giant, but when you go like inter-scanning mode, it's the same size. Like your reticle,
and it takes
change.
Just as long to scan, no matter.
Right. If you're scanning a tiny planet, it should be much faster than scanning the giant one.
I agree.
That's the one, actually. Yeah, people have complained about that. Yeah.
And scanning is just a slow process.
And scanning's slow,
but
you know. At least it does something. In Mass Effect 1, you collected these minerals, and I couldn't tell what you.
There's a game. There's a game that Gus plays on the airplane.
Oh yeah. What was that called?
I play Star Control 2 when
Star
we travel.
Control 2. To me, Mass Effect 2 is Star Control 2, but, you know, updated.
Oh, tell the story tell the story about what happened to us in San Francisco on that game.
Oh, it's not that interesting, but we were working on a commercial spot in December out in, like in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we had a little bit of downtime, so I was walking around the office complex to see what other businesses there were, you know, around us. And one of the offices near us was the office of the people who developed Star Control 2.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, no. Are they
still around? Weird.
Yeah, I guess they did some Tony Hawk game for the Wii, like, last year.
Oh, okay.
Tony Hawk, like Downhill Jam. Yeah, they did Downhill Jam. But Star Control 2, like Joel said, is just Mass Effect 2, but made, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
Really?
And it deserves the update. It's great gameplay.
You know what else is cool about Mass Effect 2? I'm going to talk about it forever. I'm sorry. It's written extremely well.
Yeah, they did a good job.
And voice acting is tremendous, too. Mm-hmm. I'm sure this was the same way in Mass Effect 1, but you have to recruit. Most of the game is recruiting the people to help you do the mission, right? And then after you recruit them, you have to gain their loyalty by doing a side mission for them. And so far, every side mission has been so good that I could see it being a movie.
Wow.
Like there's enough story there. You go through it pretty quickly, like in 30 minutes, but there's enough story there and enough plot that you could flesh it out into it. There'd be a great one with Jacob's side mission.
Yeah, like they all have, you know, you jump in and resolve it for these crew members, but there's obviously, you know, backstory that's been set up on that planet, and, you know, there's all these other things that happen, and if you focus just on those individual stories, that's like a whole game.
It is, it's like a whole game. Like, Jax and Jacobs were both so good that I still think about them.
Jack and Jacob, are we talking about Lost?
No, we'll do that later. The only one I wasn't, super blown away by was Miranda's.
Miranda's. Yeah, that was a little weird.
It was okay. It was just like...
Well. Is Nolan North in that game? The guy that is the voice acting for every video game that came out last year?
I don't know.
He did Uncharted 2.
Is he your Halo friend? Wars. Why don't you ask him? Are you guys friends?
Yes, we're best friends.
You should just call him up. Ask him.
I'm looking it up.
What's the name of the one guy who plays he's in...
Keith David.
Thank you.
The other guy.
I just had to...
Yeah.
Totally.
What do you got there?
No, Nolan North is not okay. in Mass Effect
2. Are you looking at Mass Effect 2 right now?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in that game.
He was in Dark Void. I mean...
Uncharted.
Whatever else.
Adam Baldwin was Cal Reager. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Adam Baldwin and Alan Tudyk's in there, right?
Michael Dorn is in there, right?
Yeah, Michael Dorn. That was definitely Michael Dorn.
Over
the
that.
Only person that
Steve
bothered
Buscemi,
me,
I think, is in there.
The only person that bothered me is the pilot, the guy who plays the pilot. What's his name?
Seth Green.
Seth Green. Oh, I love Seth Green. He's awesome.
Joker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not a Seth Green fan?
Yeah.
Not a Robot Chicken fan?
He's a likable dude. Have you ever heard him on Howard Stern? He's very funny.
Yeah.
So, Gus, what you doing?
Trisha Helfer is the voice of Edie.
She's getting a lot of voiceover work in video games.
Well, who is that?
Trisha Helfer?
She was
number six in fucking
Battlestar Galactica.
Boy, it seems like the people who break through into the voiceover video game, I mean, they just get used and used and used.
Yeah, she was Dare in ODST, right?
Yeah, she was.
Man, she's so hot.
She's so
hot. I saw her at Dragon Con once a couple years ago, and it was like... I felt like the cartoon wolf that Tex Avery draws, with like the eyes coming out and like the tongue rolling out.
Yeah, dude, she was in Playboy a couple of years ago too.
It's crazy.
Which is, you know, gross. I don't know
why. Yeah, it's disgusting, demeaning.
So me. Should I talk about Dante's Inferno since you guys are talking about Mass Effect 2?
Sure, fuck it.
Let's
talk about games for once.
Sure, why not? Yeah, it's a video game podcast. So you guys have been playing Mass Effect 2, and in the meantime, I've been hiding behind the scenes playing Dante's Inferno for like the last week and a half, and. I will say I am not at all jealous of you playing Mass Effect 2 because I'm having so much fun playing Dante's Inferno.
You know, I look over at your screen sometimes when you're playing, and I don't know what I'm looking at.
Dude, I don't know what I'm looking at in that game. There's some crazy shit in that game.
Please stop me if I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, no. As far as I know, we can talk about
it. It's creepy.
There's like boobs with tongues coming out of them and like babies crawling around trying to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you're playing through all the rings of hell, so it's like, you know, greed, gluttony, lust, treachery, violence. Like, they're all in there, and it's just... The visuals,
all the greatest hits.
the visuals in that game are ridiculous, man.
And we're for Achievement Hunter, we're doing to promote I guess, us on the game. We're doing a video a day until it comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
It started today, right?
Yeah, starting today. We're doing one video a day until launch, and then I'm sure on launch day I'm probably going to release like 20 videos.
Dude, next week's going to be nuts because we'll have all that Dante's Inferno stuff, and also Bioshock comes out next year.
I haven't played Dante's Inferno yet. I've just watched you play it. But some of the combat, like that boss battle with the nipple tongue boss, reminded me of like the Bayonetta combat. Is it similar?
If you're talking about QuickTime effects, there's some, or QuickTime stuff. There is some of that, like the QuickTime motions or whatever. But the fights are pretty awesome because it has an amazing sense of scale. And if that's what you're referring to, yeah, as far as the Bayonetta stuff, yeah. Like, I mean, you'll be fighting these giant creatures, and you know. And, like, the camera will pull back, and you feel like you're a tiny little guy, and there's this giant-ass creature. And there's a lot of times where they really make that, they really point out just how small you are in this giant world. And it's well done how they do it.
It's kind of like you in The Office.
Exactly. Wait, am I the big one or the small one?
You're a tiny guy among giants.
Oh, okay. I thought, like, you could have gone either way. It could have been a fat joke.
Oh, no, I'll do a fat joke.
I was waiting to see.
You're huge, dude.
Okay, there we go.
You got your own Mass Effect. Zing.
So, anyway, we'll be putting out Dante's Inferno stuff all this week. So
when does that get? Does that also come out February?
Yeah, it comes out the same day as Bioshock, next Tuesday.
Don't they have a Super Bowl commercial?
They do, as a matter of fact. And actually, CBS made them change the end tagline, because the tagline's been "Go to Hell," and CBS asked them to change it.
That's kind of funny.
What, they change it? Go to heck?
I think it's Hell Awaits.
Should you show a picture of
Go to H-E double hockey sticks.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could have, like, Janet Jackson reveal the boob and then a tongue come out.
Yeah. Babies with razor arms start coming out of her nipple.
People may not fully understand your reference, Joel, until they play the game and get to that point.
It's
but
a loaded joke.
That's really funny.
But, I mean, the game's a lot of fun. I'm almost done with my second playthrough through it now, and I'm having a great time with it. It's really neat how it works out, and it's an easy 1,000 points too, which I'm excited about.
Well, I'm really happy.
Of course, I've been playing on a debug unit, so I don't have any of the gamer score that I've received playing the game. I'm gonna have to play it all over again in order to get it on my profile. So
my job is to play video games. I gotta play them again.
I'm so mad. I had to play this game 2 weeks before it came out. Now my gamer score doesn't count.
Oh, and that and
it sucks being the luckiest dude ever. Also. Oh, I'm so fat. Fucking idiot.
That and also my gamer profile, Bernie took it for some production stuff, and so I haven't been able to play anything at home. So I've been playing Mag on the PS3.
I guess we should explain why Bernie isn't here. I guess he's been working so much that he actually got sick.
Yeah, he worked himself to death.
I don't know in the 7 years Rusty's been around that Bernie's ever taken a sick day.
No, not at all.
Maybe once. It's really bizarre to not have him here today.
I came in Saturday night to fax something. I was on a date, and I had to, you know, that's what you do on a date, right? You fax stuff.
Yeah. You're faxing your penis somewhere?
10 p.m. on a Saturday night, and I had to fax some paperwork. He was just here, plugging away, working. I felt bad. He didn't call me or ask me to come in and help or anything. He was just, like, I guess he was editing. But, yeah, that dude's been on a tear lately. He's a workhorse.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to talk about and show some of the stuff that he's been working on.
See the fruits of his labor.
Later this month, I think, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly when.
So, that makes me think, shit, later this month, I mean, PAX East is coming up real soon, right? That's the end of March, March 26th to 28th.
Man, like PAX East, away. I had no concept for how big that thing was.
60,000 people. Robert Koo this morning tweeted that he only had 45 3-day badges left.
Yeah,
45.
The thing is sold the fuck out.
I'm not surprised. I'm just not surprised at all. I don't know.
They're expecting bigger attendance at this PAX than there was at last year's PAX West.
I'm surprised, but at the
PAX
same
West
time...
PAX West had 68,000, I think.
You know, I'm surprised because it's a first-year convention, but at the same time, the Northeast has such a denser population that it's like, oh, you know, it's at Boston, people from New York can come in, Philadelphia,
it's going
to
be
Jersey.
Interesting, too, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of crossover, you know? I think it's going to be 60,000, roughly, new people to PAX,
And you don't think it'll impact...
I don't think it'll negatively impact PAX, yeah.
Do you think that there will be a single thing at PAX East that wasn't at PAX West?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's been some new stuff that's been announced in the intermediary.
Plus, like, a lot of the, like, people like Harmonix is going to be there, and a lot of companies that are based on the Northeast.
Do you think there's going to be more stuff at PAX East?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, they picked, like, the perfect time of year to have another convention, because sort of the original PAX is that, what is it, October, September, something like that?
Mm-hmm. It's the first week in September.
And so it's like, you know, the fall push for games, and then now they've got the early one, which is like the summer games are all coming out. So it's like a great time to hit, you know, either side of that.
They're going to take over the world, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Anyway, kudos to them for being able to pull 60,000 people for their first convention.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. And Gus and I are going to be there.
Yeah.
Right? That's the plan.
We will.
I'm pretty sure I'll be there, right?
No.
Well,
maybe.
No.
If I'm lucky.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I like Boston a lot, so it's gonna be cool to get up there.
Yeah, I've never been. I've always wanted to go though.
It's too bad it's not during baseball season.
I know we miss it by three days.
I've driven by like you know the ballpark there a couple times and just not been able to catch a game there.
We're talking about seeing the Celtics and the Spurs play, right?
Yeah,
the they're going to be there. Up there.
They're playing that Sunday night, like the after PAX is over.
Yeah, we'll just pack our shit up in a hurry, just like duct tape it all into a ball and ship it out and run over to go see a basketball game.
If you drive by Fenway Park, it looks like a spaceship crashed.
There's like a freeway going right by it, right?
It looks terrible.
So someone in the comments for the podcast when we talked about PAX East, I said Boston Stadium, and someone yelled at me in the comments for not calling it Fenway Park.
What was the place in Fallout where that town with the nuclear bomb?
Megaton.
That's what that stadium looks like. That's what that stadium looks like.
You know, did y'all hear about the promotion that MLB 2K10 is running?
Yeah, dude, that's pretty crazy.
They revamped their pitching system in the game, and to show it off, I guess if anyone's able to pitch a perfect game between March 2nd and May 2nd, they get $1 million. So I guess the first person to pitch a perfect game.
What a great idea.
That's the best idea of all time.
Well, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, yeah. How hard can it be?
I pitched a perfect game into the... In MLB 2K7, I pitched a perfect game until the last out of the ninth inning, and I didn't realize there was it was a 100-point achievement tied to it, and I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And I blew it.
Yes.
Because I had, they have this thing, they put in, like a stress meter, and it makes
right.
your strike zone shake, and I totally fell for it, and I got nervous. And I had dealt with it many times throughout the course of that, you know, the other 26 batters that I'd faced, and I just lost it in the bottom of the ninth.
The same thing happened to me, and this is something like I play baseball games religiously for a while. I haven't the past three, but I could pitch a perfect game. I think I pitch a perfect game on almost every iteration of 2K and EA for like a good 3 or 4 years, and it did get to the point where I feel like in later versions of the game, no matter how perfectly you get to like the ninth inning. And I feel like I would be pitching perfectly, I would execute perfectly, and it just didn't matter. Like, someone was just going to hit the ball. It's so frustrating.
I tell you what sucks. That is frustrating. And that's the case with a lot of sports games. I feel that way with Madden a lot, too. But what sucks is that seems like totally attainable. Like, I feel like I could, if I worked hard enough, do it. Somebody's going to do it in the first 40 minutes if the game comes out. First game they play, they probably play baseball games 24 hours a day. They probably, as soon as that promotion came out, they probably started playing.
Just start
last
fucking
year's.
Practicing.
Let's go over this again. They're going to give away
$1 million.
$1 million.
To the first person to pitch a perfect.
And when does it start?
March 2nd to May 2nd.
Yeah. What are the stipulations like? Do you have to play, the computer on the hardest difficulty, I'm assuming?
I don't know. I
assume so. Let me see if I can pull that up.
One thing about it, though, is there's an entirely new pitching system this season,
in this
year's game, so people will have to adjust to that. And that it's supposed to be more realistic, so that'll probably make it more difficult, at least initially.
It's only valid for the PS3 and Xbox 360 versions. Entrants must record the entirety of their game, either with a camera aimed at the TV or monitor, or recorded digitally. It's got to be sent. It must be made on DVD. I guess they're partnered with Twin Galaxies.
Twin Galaxies is doing it?
Yeah, I guess they partner with them to
can you imagine? Can you imagine capturing that and you get to the end, you get a drop frame? And a drop
frame. No, I can't imagine that.
It says come back soon for more details. I guess they don't have all the details out yet.
Because you can play with sliders and stuff in that game. I'm sure they're going to make a very stringent code of rules.
I'm surprised they don't make you play online and like do some kind of validation.
I think
any like promotion that involves play our game, do it well, we give you money. It's the greatest promotion ever.
No, absolutely. It's the best promotion I've ever seen.
They should do more of that.
I agree.
No, it's good because we talked about the negative press that MLB 2K9 had. Remember, we linked those videos a couple of months back.
Those were hysterical.
They're rebounding pretty well. Like, you know, they've always kind of, like, NBA 2K has always kind of lived in the shadow of NBA Live. And I just read this morning that they just announced that they sold 2 million copies of NBA 2K9, which is a 60% increase.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah, wow. From the previous year's game.
Didn't you play NBA Live 07 the other day?
Yeah, I did.
Did you get that achievement?
I did. I had two achievements left to get. I got them both. That was the EA shutting down the servers for a bunch of older games, and they're shutting down NBA Live 07, which is kind of famous in the achievement world because it has this stupid achievement to be online with 1,000 other players at the same time, and people weren't getting that achievement the day the game came out, you know. Oh. And it doesn't seem like a big deal to get 1,000 people online, but I guess it is.
Wow.
And so, yeah, since the servers were shutting down, I think, January 31st, so the last day a bunch of gamers got together and organized this event to try to get 1,000 people online, and they did it.
They've done it a couple
wow.
times.
Yeah, they've done it a couple awesome. Times. They failed a couple times, but yeah. So I just, like, at, like, noon on Sunday, I just threw the game in and turned my Xbox on, and boop, got the
achievement. Congratulations.
Awesome. It was awesome.
How many gamer score was it?
Yeah.
100 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I also had another achievement to play a co-op game, an entire co-op basketball game online against two other human players, and I got that as well.
Did you play with three random people or just two random
No,
people?
I played myself with Griffin's account in my lap.
So you were playing two controllers,
I was playing
at the
two
same
controllers
time?
Against two random dudes.
How bad did you win?
How bad did I win? I lost by 19.
Oh, that's not too bad.
That's not too bad for a 20-minute basketball game where I had to control two players.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So I felt pretty good about that.
I really got confusing after
And
a
I was playing the Dallas Mavericks because it was just like the generic team that popped up, and I don't give a shit about them.
It seems kind of weird that it's like all of a sudden it's not possible to get that achievement.
Yeah, it's impossible now.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
What's worse than that is I think somebody can correct me if I'm wrong that's listening to this, but one of the Tiger Woods games, I guess it was the first Tiger Woods game.
Sleep with 20 women?
Has a yeah, that's the secret achievement. But the one of the launch achievements was glitched, and it was never patched. And there's an achievement out there that's impossible for anyone to get.
Oh, wow.
See, that's Tiger Woods 06, I think.
There have been a couple games like that, though, with glitch achievements.
I think most of them have been patched. I don't
understand how a game passes certification.
There was one
like that.
There was one on, I think, Deadliest Catch actually had a glitch achievement when I was playing that for
Forced
that Enjoyment.
Fixed.
Did it really?
Yeah. You can get 1,000 points in Deadliest Catch. A lot of people have it.
Oh, okay, cool.
There's a video game based on the Discovery Channel show?
Yeah.
Did they release it like the same day as Halo 2, probably?
Cabela's Deadliest Catch.
Okay.
Obviously, those franchises are making money because they keep making them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Guys, I want to talk about the elephant in the room. I know we've been dancing around for like half an hour now. We got to fucking get it out there.
Okay.
All right.
The Lost season premiere was last night.
So this is a spoiler alert for anyone else who hasn't watched the show yet.
Yeah. If you haven't watched Lost, turn the podcast off.
It's been online since 2 a.m. Central Time. Just fucking watch it. Or DVR'd or whatever.
All right, so should we begin? We should also mention that Joel doesn't watch Lost.
Gus, what did you think?
I liked it.
And I'm prepared
to.
I was prepared to have it spoiled.
When did the last season end? Was it May?
Yeah,
I was like, it's been such a long fucking wait. It's a testament to a show that there can be that long of a break, and I can still be interested when it comes back. Like, I felt like The Sopranos always had long breaks, and I love The Sopranos to death, but the breaks always killed
well,
me.
Well, the breaks killed The Sopranos. I stopped watching
them. They did have long breaks.
They had a year and a half long breaks, though.
But, I mean, I really liked it. I felt, like, I was nervous watching it last night, because, you know, the first hour started coming to a close. I didn't realize it was a two-hour show.
Yeah, the first hour was a little slow.
The first hour was wrapping up, and I was like, oh, no, they're not resolving anything. And then, like, the show kept going past. It was like 9:02, 9:03. I was like, oh, thank God, it must be a two-hour show.
Yeah, I had the same thing. Like, our friend Frank came over to watch it with Griffin and I. And at 9, he rides a motorcycle. He put on his jacket and started to get all bundled up and put his helmet on. And he, like, stood at the door, and he was, like, trying to watch the last couple seconds before he left. And that was, he basically had to stand there for an hour. We had no idea it was going to be 2 hours either.
Yeah, it was interesting seeing, you know, I didn't know what to expect, I guess, after the bomb went off. And it was interesting that now I guess there's like two realities happening at the same time.
That's what it seems like. There's certain people that like where's, you know, how come Juliet isn't, or where is Juliet in the good reality? Or how should we label these now?
Well, if
Lost
if,
Prime.
In that reality, she never would have gone to the island to work as the fertility specialist.
That's true.
So she would still be in Portland or... Was she from Portland? I know she went to Middle Oast outside of Portland.
I thought she was from Florida.
But, she was in Portland. That's where they recruited her.
She was in Miami.
Yeah, she was in Miami.
Because the guy got hit by the truck.
Middle Oast is outside of Portland, so that's where she went. And then she got on the sub there.
That episode was, I think it was titled like, This Isn't Portland or Not in Portland anymore.
Or just outside Portland.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
What's up with that fucking temple? And like the fact that there's like 4,000 dudes walking
around.
Well,
no, around.
The population of that island is now like 22,000 people.
No, because remember Richard told, okay, take everyone, get to the temple. Like he mentioned that in like season 3 or 4.
There was a lot of people in that temple,
including
that we
the flight
see.
Attendant,
the flight, and,
yeah,
and the children,
the
and the children,
and the children. Yeah,
that temple's big, and you get the impression that there's a pretty big population there. All I'm saying is the population of that island is a lot bigger than we thought.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, on the northwest end, nobody knows about it, but there's, like, a Sandals resort.
So the land value's going down is what you're saying.
That island's not so lost.
Oh, man.
Found.
So who else freaked out when they saw the shark with the tattoo on its fin?
that was an interesting throwback.
Yeah, because we just watched this video on College Humor talking about, like, the Lost Writers, like, if you know how Lost ends, write us, and, they mentioned the shark with the tattoo on its back or whatever. I saw that and freaked out. I thought it was great.
That's funny because at the time that episode aired, I didn't see that. And then someone talked about it and I had to like go back and watch the episode over again on my DVR. It's like, holy shit, yeah, there's totally a logo right there.
When did they blow up the island? In the 70s?
Yeah.
Okay.
77?
77, 76, somewhere around there.
Something like that.
Well, that was a pretty old shark at that point. What? That shark would be 30 years old.
What's the logo?
No, but it's the Dharma logo is on like the tail fin of the shark.
No, Jeff. The logo on the shark that we saw last night in the season premiere was in the current time because it was from when the plane was flying over and then the camera panned down and you see the shark underwater.
Yeah, this is after the island had been sunk in the 70s.
The first time you saw the shark was also in current time.
No, but what I'm saying...
I get what he's saying. No, Jeff, you're right. The shark would still have to be
30 years old.
If they annihilated the island, that means everything from that point on...
Unless Dharma's still there, god damn it.
No, the island's underwater.
How is Dharma at the island? It's
Dharma might not be at the island. They might be on a boat. They might still be there.
I get...
You're presupposing that the island needs
Dharma,
to be there.
Dharma is hanging out in...
They had underwater stations.
Like, in boats, tattooing sharks.
They had underwater stations.
And
like
underwater stations.
The Looking Glass.
Yeah, which needed the island to survive.
It was tethered to the island. It didn't need the island to survive.
Sure it did.
No.
That's where it got its electricity and shit.
Wrong.
That's what was in the tether.
You don't need...
Yeah, that's true.
You don't need to get electricity like that. You can get it from the current and from tidal shifts.
But that's not how they got it. They got it from the cable.
That's how they got it in the other reality. I'm saying in this other reality, they could have come up with a different way to power it.
You're looking for it.
Yeah,
you're
stretching.
No,
all I'm saying...
No, you all are not understanding the differences between realities.
Yes, we are.
Listen to what you just said.
We know that Dharma existed
like,
and operated
in
the original fucking reality. We know that Dharma was around and operated for a long time, and I could buy that a shark could only be 15 years old, maybe,
in the original
reality. In the new one, we know that fucking island got sunk in 1977.
Right.
Therefore, there was nobody around to make new fucking... What are they? How
old do sharks live?
That's what I'm looking up.
I bet
they do live at least 30 years.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying that was an older shark.
No, I disagree. But tiger sharks can live to be between 30 and 40. The whale shark can live 100 to 150 years.
There you go.
Where's your explanation of where that shark came from then?
I think, I don't know. I don't have an explanation. I'm just saying that that's not necessarily the same shark that's super old.
My explanation for that shark is before they set off the nuke, they tattooed that shark, put it in the water, and then the Losties showed up, blew up the island, and the shark's still in the water.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How did the shark survive a nuclear blast?
He was underwater.
It sank an entire island around
it. He was underwater. Oh, okay. That's what we should do. You know? Why didn't we think about that in the Cold War? Why didn't we all build water barriers around
it? Everybody just go fucking dive into your swimming pool for five minutes.
That's why the barrels are on the side of the highway.
Learn to hold your breath for 3 minutes, and you'll survive the nuclear winter.
If you see a mushroom cloud, just dive in your pool.
This is why Aquaman is the most powerful superhero.
I was on your side for a while, but goddamn.
Look what you're siding with.
All I'm saying is that island sinks from a nuclear blast.
Do you think it gets
that far underwater? That shark's not out swimming it.
Do you think the island
sunk?
You
ever watch a helicopter try to...
Do you think the island sunk because of nuclear blast?
Yeah, I do.
Also, how come other islands have never sunk because of nuclear blast?
Islands don't sink. That's another thing. Islands can't
exactly.
sink.
Exactly. I don't think the nuke sank that island.
Maybe it made a big crater and the water went...
No, because all the houses were still there.
See
the houses and the playground.
Yeah.
We're focusing too much on one thing.
Okay.
I guess we are.
We're on the first 5 minutes of the
episode. That's the sign of a good show, I think. You know, I don't know.
There were other little differences, like in the new Prime reality. Which one's Prime? The Prime. Original or the new one?
Prime would be the original one.
Okay. Let's call it No Crash and Crash.
Okay, in the No Crash reality, there were differences on the plane.
Like Shannon wasn't on the plane because she was with...
Well, yeah, I mean...
She stayed in Australia.
Those are small things. They're like character changes. Like Jack would... Let me finish! God damn it! Quit interrupting me. I'm trying to tell you. Like Jack being nervous about the plane and him having to get calmed down.
Yeah.
What's the woman's name?
Rose.
Like Rose. In the original, Rose was nervous and Jack tells her, don't worry, it's turbulence, it's fine. This time around, Rose is the one telling Jack, don't worry, planes want to be in the air. And then, you know, Jack's, like, gripping his armrest. Yeah, like, you can let go now.
Well, yeah, because the events that they, when they changed the timeline by blowing up the island, it obviously caused a small ripple throughout the rest of humanity, which made minor changes. Like, Jack's now a flying pussy.
Yeah, and also, there were other differences. Like, I saw the interview with Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse on Jimmy Kimmel last night. And I think it was Damon Lindelof, pointed out that on this new reality, the flight attendant only gives Jack only one bottle of liquor, whereas in the original pilot, in the original reality, he was given two bottles of liquor.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's like there were tons of weird little differences like that.
Well, Hurley, I mean, the thing that bugged me is Hurley said he's the luckiest guy in the world.
Right.
And so that means Hurley won the lottery without using the numbers, right?
Or the numbers made him lucky.
No, right. No, the numbers were from the island, so he didn't get those numbers.
How do you know he didn't get them?
Yeah, he might still use the same
numbers. Those numbers could have gotten. Those numbers didn't exist after 1977. They could have still gotten off the island before it blew up.
He got the numbers from some.
He got the numbers from
an insane asylum.
Who got it? He got it from the dude who got it from the radio station in Australia. The listening station in Australia.
Which got the numbers from the distress signal that What's-Her-Face sent out, right?
No, the numbers weren't in
the distress signal, no.
No. They never really explained where that dude got the numbers from, the listening station guy.
But like, yeah, it's totally fine that he could still potentially receive those numbers.
Absolutely, that makes a lot more sense than the show.
Well, I'm willing to bet if we do keep on the not crash reality, if we kind of see what happens there, we'll probably figure out what numbers he used. I'm willing to bet that'll happen.
I wonder how long they're going to go with these two split realities, or if they're ever going to rejoin.
How many episodes are left?
14, I guess.
No, like, it'd be 15.
That counted as two.
Did it?
Yeah, I checked on Wikipedia today, and that counted as episodes 1 and 2.
Was it 16 or 17 episodes?
16.
Okay. I got to read Lostpedia to get caught up. But, last season, I thought most of the season would be the people who were off the island trying to get back on. But they very quickly got back on the island.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of a misdirection. So I wonder if they're misdirecting how long there's going to be, split realities, if they're going to rejoin.
Also, next week's episode is called Kate Does It, which is a reference to an older episode called Kate Did It.
Mm.
So I wonder if now it's going to start focusing on like what's going on in Kate's life in the new reality.
That's true, because she left with Claire in the taxi, right?
Yeah.
And that was how she ended.
Hmm.
So who's the key to Lost? Is it Locke or Desmond?
I think it's Desmond.
You think so?
He was the constant for the time traveling, according to Faraday. And also, Jack seemed to recognize him on the plane.
Well, they had met before.
Well, yeah, right. I know they had met.
But that's, in the other reality they had, that's presupposing that Desmond still did the race around the world.
Right, sure.
So, yeah. I mean, it's possible that, that's where he recognizes him from, if that really still happened in the new reality.
Yeah.
But also, if it didn't happen, regardless, Jack still recognized him.
But Desmond was only there for that one scene. Like, he just showed up, talked to him, called him brother, and then left.
Yeah.
Like,
he probably went back to his seat where his bags and shit were.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't want to sit there next to the snoring guy the whole time.
Oh, that's right. That's why he left. Okay.
Yeah.
Way to pay attention, Jack.
I was so blown away by that shark.
You're like, is that an old shark?
So there was this whole duality thing where it's like Locke in, like, the non-crash Locke was definitely the light. He was wearing like a lighter color shirt, wearing a white shirt, whereas like the evil Locke on the island was wearing a black shirt. So I'm wondering if that has something to do with Jacob and the man in black.
Locke is the man in black.
No. Now he is.
No.
Now he is.
And again, going back to that interview on Jimmy Kimmel last night, Jimmy Kimmel asked...
I think you're cheating. You're using outside sources.
I'm using the source.
Yeah.
Damon Lindelof.
Creators.
Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof. Jimmy Kimmel asked him. Well, Jimmy Kimmel said it kind of obvious that, he said it's kind of obvious that, the man in black who was talking to Jacob is Locke now. And they said, no, you should watch a little more.
Did they say that? Because they did say Locke is the smoke monster.
They said
I always got the impression that the man in black was the smoke monster.
They said two things that kind of fucked me up. I thought that Saeed was Jacob reincarnated now.
A lot of people think that.
That's a misdirect. They said that's wrong. They also said that Locke is not the man in black. The man in black is not Locke.
They said that? I gotta go watch that thing again.
I'll rewatch it. I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure they said that.
But then
said Locke is the smoke monster.
But Richard Alpert looked at him and said, you. Like, he recognized him as, you're the bad motherfucker.
He's someone else.
I don't know. You have to watch that again, because I watched that same interview you're talking about, and I didn't get that out of it at all. We don't have to watch it right now.
I'm just going to queue it up, so I'm going to watch it after the podcast.
I need to watch that. Also, speaking of Richard Alpert, I don't remember you without chains on. What did he tell him?
Yeah. You look different without chains on?
Yeah.
I think he said you look better unchained or something like that.
So are we assuming now that Alpert was on the Black Rock?
Or maybe he just meant that, like, Alpert was metaphorically chained down by having to work for Jacob. And now that Jacob's dead, he can be free.
I don't know about that. I
don't know why it would have to be literal.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know.
It's Jack. I mean, he only has a college degree.
Oh, that's true.
Got to keep it very straightforward.
Only has a college degree.
Anyway, it was very interesting. I'm totally sucked in. I dreamed about Lost all night.
Did you?
Yeah, I had like 10 dreams about Lost. Like, I kept waking up and I'd be like, oh, that was weird. And I'd go back to sleep. And then when I woke up this morning, I was so confused I had to read Wikipedia because I couldn't remember what was a dream and what really happened in the show.
So now the show has two realities and you have an alternate dream reality for Lost as well?
It's frustrating. It was really annoying when I woke up this morning.
That's awesome.
So do you think this will be the last we see of Boone and Charlie?
Absolutely not.
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, absolutely not.
I think
Charlie, I love
seeing Charlie.
Like Charlie said, I was supposed to die. There'll be consequences for him living, and then Boone, I think they were saying was going to be a bigger part of the show this year.
I do have to say one thing that
and we'll see Shannon again. They did say that in the in that interview.
Oh, really?
Jimmy Kimmel that yeah. Shannon's making a comeback.
Oh, wow.
And the fact that Shannon wasn't on the plane was very deliberate. And what was the word they used? They basically alluded to the fact that it was very important that Shannon was on the plane.
They say it had consequences or something like that.
Significant. They said it was significant.
Oh, what about Jack's dad not being in the coffin not being there? Wow.
I've lost luggage before. Well, I don't know.
Did they find? No, they found the coffin in the original crash.
Yeah, it was
right?
it was at the bottom of the lake, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Lots of food for thought.
Yeah, no kidding, man. There's so much there.
So I get the feeling that this podcast is very quickly going to become a Lost podcast because now that they've moved Lost to Tuesday nights and we do our podcast Wednesday morning. Because like last season, wasn't Lost on Wednesday nights?
Or Thursday?
Yeah, it was Wednesday. Yeah.
So it really didn't come into the... I mean, it came into the podcast a little bit, but now it's just like, it's going to be what we talk about.
Yeah. My old place I used to work at, we actually had a meeting on, I guess, Thursday mornings. We had an hour meeting scheduled where like everyone would show up and we just like debrief Lost from the night before because everyone knew that they were going to spend all their day talking about it. So like, let's just get out of the way now.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How's that company doing?
Company's doing great.
We should rename this the Lost Tank.
The Lost Tank.
Oh, speaking of Lost, we finally mailed off our trophies.
Oh, yeah. We mailed them.
We FedExed them out the other day.
JJ won too. He got Star Trek and Lost.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to be super excited to open that up. I'm sure he'll be the one to open it up.
Hey, those are kick-ass trophies.
Yeah, I posted a picture in the Dink Dump last week. And,
they're very patriotic.
Very patriotic.
But yeah, I still need to get the one out to BioWare. And if anyone knows how to find the drunkest guy ever, that gravity-defying drunk guy, you know, let me know.
Yeah, please. I've got a trophy waiting for him.
I'd either send it to him or the convenience store where that happened if I can find him.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's bound to be details on that convenience store somewhere.
Yeah, I've tried looking it up. I can't find it.
Like, how great would it be to get an acceptance speech from the drunk guy drunk?
I would fly out and have a beer with that guy give him his trophy.
He's probably dead by now, I'm willing to bet.
I hope not.
I don't think, dude. If that day didn't kill that guy, nothing's going to happen. That guy survived that convenience store. And then...
That was an accomplishment.
Yeah. All right. So what was the preview for Lost next week? Well, was there any real concrete? It was more like this season.
This season of Lost. Okay. It was kind of a montage of stuff.
Dude, the one scene with Ben and Locke inside the temple where Locke was talking about, Smoke Monster or Evil Locke was saying, do you know what Locke was thinking when you killed him or the last thing he was thinking? Like he didn't understand it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so confused. Why is this happening?
That whole scene where he was leaning in and out of that shadow. Oh, that was so awesome.
I would say one thing. Ben is probably in my opinion, the best actor on the show, and has had the strongest scenes throughout the show. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm gonna like a confused, whiny Ben. Like he plays that assured bad guy so well.
I think he's gonna bring it back together.
I hope he will. Well, he's got to, right?
I named my dog Benjamin.
That's true.
After Benjamin Linus.
How many cast members?
On Lost?
Yeah.
A lot.
Like
dude.
15?
15?
Like, is that too high? Constantly. Like, it's hard to say because they bring cast members in and then kill them and then bring them back two years later.
Like Nikki and Paolo? Yeah. I wonder if we're going to see them again.
No, but like Boone, you know?
That's true.
We haven't seen Boone in a couple
I wouldn't worry about whiny Ben because the fact he came out of the temple after watching what happened and immediately was on the ball talking with Alpert or Richard Alpert about that. It's like, oh, you go inside, talk to him if you want, you know? He seemed very like calm and collected already after witnessing what happened to him. So I don't think we'll have to worry about Ben.
I think he and Faraday are the best characters in the show.
I think if I get another dog, I'm going to name my next dog either Daniel or Faraday.
I hope to God we see more Daniel Faraday.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm afraid we won't, but...
So... For people who haven't been keeping up, just a quick question. So basically, it's like different realities.
As of today, yeah.
Different
yeah.
realities. And are the characters aware that they're different?
No.
Well, Juliet might have been.
Yes, yeah, Juliet.
Juliet might have been. But Juliet, she's dead.
Because Juliet, but right before she died, said it worked. And then she died. Like, she said a couple weird lines of, like, something about coffee or something. And then she leaned in and said it worked.
No, she didn't say it worked.
That's Miles, right. Miles. Her. Yeah, yeah.
There's a character who can read dead people's thoughts, Joel. And he read her thoughts after she died. Wow. And she was thinking it
but
worked.
It totally makes sense because he's the son of the scientist that was in the Dharma mission.
That's true.
Can I be honest with you? I cried a little bit when Juliet and Sawyer kissed. I thought it was so sad.
It was sad.
Dude, it was shot really well, and I was all like, what if she dies? Like, she actually is going to die kissing him. I didn't expect her to live a little bit longer. And I was
What are your thoughts on Kate? Because I want Kate to die so bad.
I'm indifferent towards Kate. I don't care.
Dude,
she was the best part of season one, and then now she's just become increasingly irrelevant in the show.
And she just, like, she's ruined Sawyer's life, basically. Like, he had everything going well with Juliet, and then she shows up and is like, oh, crap. And then, look, you're on the sub now. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Oh, look, you're waiting for me by the hole as I kiss my dead girlfriend.
And Sawyer blames Jack for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not his fault.
Yeah. So, I all of last season, I wanted Kate to die. And even, like, this season, I was like, maybe she'll do. Oh, nope, still here.
Yeah, I really was unhappy with her for the whole sub thing.
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous.
Okay. Okay. I don't want Lost to take over our podcast.
You know what's going to be sad?
That was like 10 minutes, so that's not too bad.
It was 20.
Lost that was 20 minutes?
Lost is going to be
my
over.
In reality, it was like a half an hour.
And there's no television show to replace it. Yeah. I've enjoyed having a Lost. Like, before Lost, we had Sopranos, you know?
Yeah.
And I had The Shield. There's always been, like, one tremendous show.
I have a few things I'm holding on to. I'm still holding on to the final season of The Shield, which I haven't watched.
I watched the first two episodes.
And I'm holding on to V. I don't know.
V's coming back as a full show. Yeah,
I really didn't watch it when it came out in the fall, so I think I'm going to catch up on that, and I'm going to jump into that.
V was goofy as shit.
Was it?
And not in a bad way, but like I watched the first episode of that miniseries, and it was goofy.
You know, I rewatched V. I bought it on the iTunes store and watched it on my iPod not too long ago, and it holds up surprisingly well.
The Mark Singer V?
Yeah.
It's
not bad. I mean, there's some, you know, kind of wonky effects because it's like 20 years old now, but... Or 25 years old. Shit.
Yeah, it's pretty old.
But it's not bad. It holds up okay.
The original V?
Yeah, it came out in 85, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
You feel that way.
It's got Robert Englund in it.
You don't like it, Joel?
I thought it was a little goofy, but I don't know.
No,
that's awesome.
I read the novelization like 2 years ago.
A new season of Solitary started just now. Nope. Solitary 4.0.
Nobody knows what that is.
He's talked about it before.
It's actually a really cool reality show. You can watch the first three seasons on Hulu, like every episode from the first three on Hulu. And it's like every season's only like 9 episodes, so you can catch up on it pretty quick.
All right.
And it's really cool. Season 4 just started on Fox Reality, which is about to shut down.
Great. I look forward to seasons 5 and 6 then.
Well, it might get picked up. Like they're talking about G4 maybe picking up.
Reality is about to shut down?
Yeah,
Fox Reality. How's a reality anything about to shut down?
I don't think enough cable providers are probably picking it up.
Well, you can only show that Fantasy Island so many times. Or what was the what was that name of the reality show
where Temptation Island?
Temptation Island times.
I guess. I don't know.
It's like you can show Cops, Temptation Island, and then new episode of Solitary.
They had like old episodes of The Amazing Race and shit on there, though. Yeah. I saw Man vs. Beast on there over the Christmas holiday.
Which one?
I don't know. It was the one where a dude, like, was Kobayashi tried to out-eat
a bear. That was the first one. That was one where they had the midgets versus the elephant pulling the plane.
Yeah, it made me embarrassed to be a human being. That show was so insulting.
For some reason, that makes me think of those DVDs I bought when I was in Japan. Of, like,
all
the different animals
like
fighting each other.
Panther versus eagle. Python versus elephant.
Yeah, it was like such a weird pairing.
Did you ever watch them?
I watched one of them. It was a shark versus a polar bear.
How did it go?
I think in the water, the shark won, obviously.
Wait a minute. You got videos overseas of animals fighting each other?
No, they wouldn't actually make the animals fight.
Oh.
They were like talk. They would. I guess they were talking about the animals and who would win, and then they would have like computer simulations, and they have like this really terrible CGI of animals fighting.
There was a show on Discovery about that, like that exact idea,
right? But with like weapons or whatever.
Well, there you go. It was animals. Like they. I remember watching one. It was like alligator versus like hippo.
They also have.
I think that might that sounds familiar. Might
have
been it.
They also have that like Ultimate Warrior show where they pit like
that's what I'm talking about.
Classic warriors against each other.
Mm.
Goofy.
Yeah,
we should probably go get some lunch.
Dude, I want to eat a hamburger.
How about Man versus Hamburger? When's that one?
I'm going to go destroy a hamburger.
Oh, hey, Super Bowl. We should mention that. It's coming up this weekend.
People care about that?
Yeah. Dante's Inferno ad.
Who's in
on.
The Super Bowl this year?
Saints and Colts.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's right. There is a Dante's Inferno ad. We mentioned that, right?
Did we?
Yeah, we talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
We also thought did we talk about Tim Tebow and his...
You want to talk about the coaching changes happening behind the scenes in the NFL in the offseason?
Yeah, totally. Let's do it.
Let's not.
No, let's not. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
TTFN.